This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
You know, it wouldn't be the Power Hour without our next guest, right? You can't call it the Power Hour without the next guest, because he is looking good today. None of this, hey, I just rolled out of bed. I got 5 minutes for you. He is prepared and ready to roll.
What?
Jordan Cornette's on board.
I like that intro, Pack.
That's it.
I just want to know, can we say that this is the first guest who's come with the mic stand, the whole nine yards here, Pack? I mean, the whole TVU setup. Look at this guy. Luke Hancock slaps that lavalier on. He doesn't get the stand-up mic. Cornette's got the Khalil Mack bobbleheads, all the stuff going on. I mean, you're ready to ride today.
I got my Mike Bray book right there. Coach Mike Bray, great coach, one of the best to ever do it, who gets no respect. We'll talk about that maybe we won't. Just want to let people know what time it was. And the red is for Tiger Woods on my mic stand. I'm bringing it today for you guys, man. I want to cap off the week. If I'm following Tyler Hansborough, I better be on my P's and Q's, because that is a tough act to follow, especially when he gets into the Bachelor talk. Are you kidding me? Did I just meet my best friend without actually meeting my best friend?
Apparently. And by the way, that red isn't for Tiger. That red's for NC State, because they're smoking right now. The Wolfpack went in five straight.
Ooh.
Tiger's on his back. NC State standing on their feet, doing the job, my man. Big difference. Big difference.
So was that a subtle shot at Notre Dame, because that's who NC State just rolled? I'll kind of take it that way. But having done Coach Keats' squad in that Virginia win, which feels like an eternity ago, but really was in the midst of them playing this really good basketball that they are, I'm as high on Coach Keats as they come. And you talk about another coach who doesn't get enough respect. I think it's Coach Keats. It hasn't been an easy year for them this year. You know, you're already replacing the backcourt that they were replacing in C.J. Bryce and Markel Johnson. Then Devin Daniels goes down, and you got to reinvent the wheel. And you got to do it with a lot of youth. And the youth is really starting to play. Sebron's been good. You watch what Moore's done off the bench. Cam Hayes, are you kidding me? Like, this team is firing from all cylinders. They're doing a lion's share of the work inside the arc. It's toughness. They're competing. They're defending. They're turning their opponent over. I think this team has a chance to do something wild in the ACC tournament and find themselves in this thing, in the ACC tournament, find themselves in the big dance. It'd be crazy to see.
Now, let's get to tomorrow night. You're co-hosting the watch party with Vince and Booze. Is that right? This is going down tomorrow night on ACC Network. Is this going to happen, right?
Yes, because when you think Carlos Boozer and Vince Carter, you naturally think Jordan Cornette as well. So, yeah, something doesn't belong. So I'm going to be the guy hosting. I'll say a couple words and just do this.
Yeah. Get out of the way.
Just let them do their thing. I think that's the way to do it. Yeah, I think that's the way to do it.
By the way, I just got a note.
It's going to be fun, though.
I just got a note that the BPI predicts that Boozer thinks Duke's 100% winner tomorrow. BPI, 100% on Boozer and Duke.
So that's what I'm most curious to see, Pack, is I know the affinity and the proud alum that Carlos Boozer is, because it oozes from him every time he's on the air. By the way, salt of the earth, no better guy. And for what he's achieved, that element's going to be really cool. Vince Carter, a legend as well on both the collegiate and professional level, and Boozer had a great professional career as well. But I'm curious to see how Vince is when it comes to North Carolina. Is he going to lean into it like I know Booze is? If he does, it's going to make for a lot of fun with two Titans representing their schools with a lot on the line, too.
I will co-sign the lean-in from Vince Carter. That will be real, by the way, tomorrow night. So it'll be worth your time to join the watch party at 6 o'clock. Jordan, let's get to the game, and then we're going to hop into Player of the Year, because Duke Carolina, as Pac said, it doesn't have any of the 1-2 seeds. It has the get-in seeds hanging in the balance. Duke's got a lot more work. Joe Lenardi confirmed it for us yesterday. Carolina's got a better sheet. Mm-hmm. At this point, to me, if Carolina wins the game, Duke has got to win the tournament to get in to the NCAA tournament the next week.
Yeah, and you almost feel like Carolina can get away with a loss here, but I'm cut from the yoke of, control what you can control. Don't leave anything to chance. Keep winning games. So that should be Carolina's mentality, and it's against their most heated rival. For Duke, it's very clear. This is the stepping stone for a start of coaches like to talk about invitationals, 2-3-game tournaments, and that's how Duke should be looking at this thing. They need to beat Carolina. They need to win a few games in the ACC tournament, then project towards winning the conference tournament. But you got to take it one game at a time, and the effort versus Georgia Tech clearly wasn't enough to get it done. In this rivalry, you're going to have to up the ante. Matthew Hurt's going to have to play clean basketball. He's a Player of the Year candidate. He's going to have to stay eligible in these games because they're going to need a closer down the stretch. The young backcourt for Duke must be better. They struggled massively versus Georgia Tech and was ultimately the inability to get good ones, take care of the basketball, dictate tempo that cost them versus Georgia Tech. It's going to be a bigger challenge against North Carolina, and they're going to have to be good in the interior, a place where Duke has kind of evolved and grown and won some games. Can they be competitive and neutralize that part of it?
You know, Duke North Carolina always gets headlines, and I get that. But really, to be honest with you, I think Virginia and Louisville has the intrigue factor in terms of two teams that you assume are going to be moving forward. Virginia for sure. Louisville's on a really comfortable spot, but really can't afford an L and then a throw up on themselves next week, right? It's one of those kind of deals when you look at the resume. Crystal ball this. I mean, Virginia, 3-game losing streak. They were just okay, I thought, in beating Miami. They were supposed to. Jay Huff, Clark, don't start the second half. Tony Bennett sending a message. Kind of waiting for Virginia to kind of kickstart it again, aren't you, Jordan?
Yeah, absolutely. But it starts with the ability for that front court to all three of those guys be really productive. You know, Huff, Hauser, Murphy. Murphy's been inconsistent a little bit, has lacked the toughness. I still look at them and say defensively, they're really good, but there are so many new pieces on this Virginia roster, even old guys who've transferred in, like a Murphy and Hauser, that are still truly learning the rotations and how to be elite defensively. So they're very good defensively. They're not elite defensively. But it all starts with the shot-making ability of that front line and be able to get going. Louisville's going to be challenged. Switching everything, getting up under those guys has proved beneficial to the opposition's defense. Can Louisville provide some of that? They also run a lot of sets, which will give them an opportunity to score against this pack line defense. And those guards, they're aggressive and they play downhill. And when you've got guards like that in Carly Jones and David Johnson, you're going to be able to put game pressure on Virginia because of the ability to score against that defense. Pack, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a great game. Most likely even better than North Carolina Duke, but that's no reason not to tune in to ACC Network and watch the watch party.
That's it.
But the Louisville situation that I'm finding with Jalen Withers' improvement makes the inside game tomorrow with Virginia a little more intriguing than maybe had they played that thing 8 weeks ago, Jordan.
Yeah, because Withers can compete on a backboard, but Wes, going back to it, I think he can defend that front line. I mean, he's agile enough to be able to move, and Louisville's competent enough defensively to be able to switch everything. It always comes down to, when I'm watching Virginia, can they make you pay for those switches? In those switches, is it always going to be an ideal defensive matchup? Sometimes it's not. Switching on a 5'9 Kihei Clark and you're a big, he's got to make you pay. He's got to get into the painted area, kick out, and open up good looks for other guys. The pick and pop always has to be respected when Murphy, most especially Huff, and obviously Hauser are involved. Can they switch and communicate? It's always an early challenge. It's unusual for so many pick and roll packages defensively. They're used to getting to the dive guy. You have to adjust to that early on and make that statement, or this game can run away from you because Virginia is so good with it. They're not going to beat themselves. You have to go out there and beat them, and it starts with competing defensively.
Team to beat in the ACC is Florida State. They're coming to your backwoods, if you will, at Notre Dame. What's going on with this whole thing with Mike Bray at Notre Dame? What do you hear?
Well, for one, I think it really sets itself up for a really interesting collision course. The whole thing with Notre Dame is they're 0-28 versus ranked teams in their last 28 attempts. It's unacceptable. The standard that Mike Bray set there, that's not the standard, obviously. So they're falling short. You bring in Florida State, a team that I think can run to the Final Four, and you get that ranked win and then in the final game to punctuate your regular season, and maybe you go on a run. I'm not here to play fantasy. I'm just talking about what I did see on the floor versus NC State when Coach Bray walks off the court and they're yelling, fire Bray. How dare you? Shame on you. Guy's been there for 21 years, and to say it was a couple students that were doing that, fine. But my mentions on Twitter, my timeline's flooded with hatred. people talking about this guy hasn't done much in 21 years, save for three good years, two of those being the Elite Eight runs. Well, no, that's not it. Digger Phelps is the greatest coach in Notre Dame history. Mike Bray is right there with him. Digger Phelps set the standard there. There was the Matt Doherty 1 year, and there was some bad years for those 10 years before Coach Doherty came in there. But what Mike Bray has done has made that program relevant, has made them worth watching, has brought in incredible talent, has had them competing, has won an ACC championship, has won 65% or more of his games in his career there. It's hard to win in football at Notre Dame, and we know the tradition there. It's almost impossible in the time that Coach Bray came in there to win, period. Not only win, but post 20-win season after 20-win season. There's now a practice facility to be proud of there because of the production that Coach Bray brought, where the athletic department said, hey, we should probably put a little bit more into this basketball program. Let me tell you this. The grass is not greener. So whoever thinks Coach Bray, because of these last few bad seasons, isn't the guy, go show me who is. And maybe there is somebody. And if the grass is greener, it's because of what Mike Bray has built for that program in these last 21 years. Respect is something that seems like it's very hard to find these days, but I never thought it'd be hard to find in the Jack, the place that I played, the Joyce Center, because that's whatever it will be to me. And to watch that man walk off the court, be booed like that, and people to tweet like that about Coach Bray, it's not the program that I know. And it's not the fans that I know are there. They are great, intelligent fans, and that is an ignorant take to think that Mike Bray doesn't belong as the guy running this program. He's earned the right to walk away on his terms, and he's not tone deaf. He knows when that time is. Next year, this team is poised for a great run. Let that man decide what he wants to do, because he's earned the right. He respects the program. He'll do what's best for it. So to those kids booing, stay at home. Don't come to another game.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think you're right. Sometimes you let the present, and you got to understand kind of how it was all put together. And when it doesn't go well for a year or two, you have to understand the implications. They've also had a program, Jordan, and I'm not sharing secrets out of school here. They've been ravaged with injuries in the last 3 years. Yeah. The Robbie Carmody situation is one. And yeah, it's still the ACC. It's a flammable league, but he won the league 6 years ago. I mean, he won the league 6 years ago when Steve Vastori hit that shot. I mean, the guy's had great success. He's had great players in his ACC history at Notre Dame.
And, Wes, they were a doormat in 2014, the year before they went on to win the ACC tournament and go to the Elite Eight. So the guy knows what he's doing. Coach Bray, he wants to make it easy. He's the loosest coach in America. He doesn't want to step in if he knows that they're going to get mauled next year and they're going to have another bad season. He wants what's best for the program. So in my projection, and I have a pretty good relationship with Coach, I would believe Coach wants to come into next year with Paul Atkinson, the transfer from Yale, coming in with two local signees that are blue chip guys, and this class being seniors, and say, let's take one more stab at it. Let's play the kind of basketball that we've played here for my 21 years. See what we can do here. And if it's not right, then I'll go do something else and be great at it. But that's Coach Bray's decision. That ain't a couple kids in the stands that go fire Mike Bray that don't know the history. Because, yes, those kids haven't seen winning in their time in college. I get it. I love that we set that standard. I love the passion. I don't like the disrespect. I think this thing is fine. Coach Bray's still the guy. And when he decides to move on, then I'll be as helpful as I can in trying to help with who the next guy is and support him. But for right now, it's Mike Bray. It's this guy right here. Mike Bray, the loosest coach in America. Don't forget who you went to the dance with. That's who you dance with. Come on.
Yeah.
So, just want to get that off my chest, everybody.
Well, I'm glad I asked you.
That was good.
All right, so let me transfer into another deal here. The ACC Player of the Year is fill in the blank.
Ooh. I'm going to be honest with you. I got to really think about this to the very last whistle of the regular season. I've got a vote in this, and I know you guys do too, up until Sunday to think about it. But I'm looking at Carleek Jones. I'm looking at Matthew Hurt. I'm looking at, Jay Huff. I don't care about the numbers. I'm looking at Sam Hauser. And I don't know why people aren't mentioning Moses Wright enough. Are you kidding me with what he did at Duke?
I just gave a stat
no
this morning.
Reminder, give me the stat. I think it's a stat that, if I think it is, there's nothing else that tells a story. What was that stat? Can you share it with me?
It's the one that Mike Monaco put out yesterday.
Yeah.
You know the stat,
incredible.
Right?
And to, Yeah. And to me,
he's
I wish I had it in my head.
Here it is. Moses Wright's averaging 18 points, 8.3 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.7 blocks. Full list of players in the country averaging those numbers this year is Moses Wright. Full list of ACC players to average those numbers since 1992 is Moses Wright and Tim Duncan. Now, I read the list. Mike Stamos at Georgia Tech added, he went back and chronicled everybody. The names on that list are Chris Webber, Andrew Bogut, and Danny Granger are the highlight names on that list. Those three guys plus Tim Duncan, who did it twice, and Moses Wright.
It's unbelievable. And I'm telling you, guys flown under the radar on the national level all season long. I know you guys pump him here. I know within the conference we're aware of who he is. But I feel like a lion's share of college basketball fans are wholly unaware. Shout out to Mike Monaco from the great University of Notre Dame in finding that tweet.
No, here we go with the alumni party. Yeah, here we go.
And find it out right there.
Alumni party.
But look, to me, that's why I'm not comfortable on air saying who I've made the pick with because I haven't yet. There's a big part of me that's thinking, how do you not give it to Moses Wright? How do you not give it to a guy who's been the reason why this program, look, along with Jose Alvarado, Mike DeVoe, Jordan Usher, but a big reason why this program is sitting on the precipice of getting back to the tournament and has won a string of games they haven't won in over, what, like 2 decades? Like, they're playing great basketball just because of number 5. And he's very much at the top of my list right now with a few other guys. So I'm just waiting to see how the rest of the season plays out, what's left in the tank for this final game leading into the weekend. And I'm kind of going to go from there. But everybody's talking about it's a down year for the ACC. That's fine. We still might get like 7 teams in a tournament, and we still got a couple of them that could go out and win the national championship. So I'll take a down year like that. I think it speaks to the standard of ACC basketball.
By the way, Jordan, I thought it was interesting. Of the 5 or 6 names you just rattled off, nobody from Florida State, and you didn't mention Justin Champagne. Mm. I mean, so the point is it's a deep roster of, hey, you got to really take some time and break this one down. This is not one of those that just rattles right off the tongue. You go, oh, yeah, that's an easy call. It's Joe Smith. No, not this year. Not in the ACC.
Yeah, and Justin Champagne is definitely a guy in the conversation. That was an omission. He's had a magnificent year. Florida State, look, this is what Coach Ham's built. Those guys, they probably have the most talent. If I'm going to pick a player to start a team, I'm probably starting with Scotty Barnes. Like, what he brings and the challenge immediately that he creates for the opposition. That team, MJ Walker, those are really good. Those are elite players. Yeah. Those are pros. But with that system and how it's built, they're not going to put together the numbers that are going to be in the conversation for player of the year. But impact of the year, guys that I want to do if I'm Team LeBron or doing it that way, yeah, I'm probably going with some of those guys. So that is a testament to what that program at Florida State is. And you know how high all of us are on what Coach Ham has built there and continues to do. And I think Florida State right now, not seeing a bracket, I got them in my Final Four. I just think how they are.
Oh.
Now you got to look at matchups. But I think Florida State, why wouldn't they go to a Final Four this year? You don't think they can put it together for the string necessary to do it? Absolutely.
I think Florida State's definitely a candidate. Hey, by the way, congratulations. Watch party tomorrow night with Vince Carter and Carlos Boozer. They'll be digging in, and you show up to the Packer and Durham 3rd anniversary origination show with the full media kit. That's a big move on your part, and we're grateful for it.
Thank you very much, Wes. Wes and Pat, congratulations to you guys. Keep on rocking. It's must-see TV. I pull up a chair. I pull up the couch. I pull up my microphone when I come on. I'm just curious if Vince Carter is a Bachelor fan like Tyler Hansborough. That is going to be my first question on the watch party. So let's see if we can keep this Tar Heel pride rolling when it comes to the final rose, Matt James and a Bachelor.
Mm. All right. Nice job.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, on a Friday, we inch a little bit closer, to the weekend and the doctor's appointment. But we're going to get there, I promise you.
Oh, me. So day 2 of the ACC Women's Basketball Championship yesterday featured a couple of upsets, the 9-seed Wake Forest, a win over the 8-seed Carolina. And then last night, the 11th-seed Clemson, Amanda Butler's team, got a late 3 from Kendall Spray. and they held off Notre Dame 68-63. But Jules Spear, a freshman for Wake Forest, and Jen Hoover was the star of stars yesterday, Pac. And Monica McNutt last night on Nothing But Net asked her what helped her gain so much confidence going into yesterday's game.
Really just faith in my team, that my teammates had in me and my coaches. Because if they didn't have faith in me, then none of this would happen. But they always tell me to keep shooting, stay confident, and stay locked and loaded.
Jewel, heading into the tournament, did the upperclassmen have any advice for you when you went out there? Because it looks like they said, why don't you just go ahead and keep shooting?
I get a lot of my confidence from them. Gina, she's been a great role model for me. So she always tells me to stay confident and that we believe in each other and we always push each other in practices and stuff. So she's been a great role model. And Ivana, she's always been great for me. She's my big sister. We have like a big sister, little sister program. And she's been my big sister since July 6th. So both of them have been great for me.
I love hearing that. And guys, this is a big moment for me. As a Jewel Spear stan, as a Fear the Spear person here, this is very exciting. I'm so excited to have Jewel here on the show. Jewel, coming into this game today, you guys, you know, we're kind of in a desperate mode trying to get to the NCAA tournament. What was said in the locker room before this game, and how did you let that desperation really manifest on the court?
Yeah, definitely. We had a chip on our shoulder. We came off a tough road spurt this past week against Miami and Florida State. So we knew this win was huge. We lost our last game against North Carolina in overtime, so we knew this was going to be huge to get into the tournament, and I think we deserved to be in the tournament.
Now, Kelly used the word desperation, Jewel, but I'm going to say it was urgency because you guys just played lights out. But you have the opportunity to be a part of a historic return for the Demon Deacons. The last time that this team was in the NCAA tournament, Coach Hoover was still playing, but there's still work to do. How do you guys make sure that you stay focused and don't miss this opportunity?
Yeah, we have a huge opportunity ahead of us. We have a big game tomorrow against Louisville, so we just got to lock in on the scouting report and walk through and know our personnel. We might be doubted to win that game, but we're just going to have fun, stick together, and do what we did today, and do the same thing tomorrow.
Jewel, what did you learn from the last game against Louisville?
Yeah, I think the main thing we learned is you can't get too high, because I felt like we were up for four quarters into the last, like, 10 seconds. And we played our hearts off. We never quit. But I feel like we just have to finish every possession and just have fun with it and play our hardest.
Well, Jewel, you certainly looked like you were having fun with it today, and we had a great time watching you. 29 points. Looking forward to see what you guys do against Louisville tomorrow. Kelly, should we let her go with one of your signature? What do you want to tell people about her? What do you always say?
Hashtag fear the spear. And
is.
Jewel is from Texas, the great state of Texas, represented out here in the Carolinas. I love it.
There you go. Jewel, thanks so much. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Kelly Graham, like, bringing that Texas heat, right? You know, those Texans, man, they're tight. Those Texans hang together now.
They're locked in.
Yeah, sure is.
Got that right. Congratulations to Jen Hoover. Yesterday's win also made her Wake Forest all-time winningest coach. We're going to slide the hat on for her? There you go. Sure, why not? Put that on.
Yep.
Always good to get that on. The other ball game yesterday,
Wes, I think Billy stretched the hat a little bit for the birthday celebration last week. We got Billy wearing the Demon Deacon. I think Billy stretched the hat.
Saying why, but did it fit a little looser on your head?
Well, yeah, it normally doesn't fit. It almost felt like Dr. Seuss there for a second.
So the 8-point win by Virginia Tech yesterday, Kenny Brooks' 100th win at Virginia Tech as their head coach. And I give credit here to the good folks from Virginia Tech and their social media, digital area.
It's great.
They had the 100 glasses for the players in the locker room.
Love it.
Kenny pretty excited. Yeah, absolutely, right?
That's a great win
for them. He had his...
That's a dangerous game tonight at 6 o'clock. Virginia Tech has really played well. Mm-hmm. They've beaten NC State before, so it's not like they're going to be in awe. NC State, the hottest team in the league going into the tournament. 6 p.m. tonight, that is a good one. NC State and Virginia Tech.
Yep. Yeah, action starts at noon. Wake versus Louisville. I'm interested in that one too, Pac. If you know, momentum's funny. Teams that have played a game against teams playing for the first time, strange things happen every once in a while.
And I go back to our interview with Dana Evans. I said, you know, the one thing I thought that the one moment I captured this year from her was that game against Wake Forest where they had to find a way to win. And you know what?
Right.
The Deacs had them right where they want them, but Dana made a great play for the W. So Wake's not going to be in fear at all. This is an incredible opportunity for the Deacs to add to that resume to just make sure it's easy for them to go into the NCAA tournament.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. The boys are up.
Look at us.
The boys are up and moving.
Racing to the end of the week. Good. Racing to the end of the week.
Boys thought it was time for the Bojangles weekend menu, and they're like, hey, 10:05, time to go eat a biscuit.
Look at Fuller's at the door for the 10:05. He's got the fin up in the air.
Yeah, he's back
there. Okay, what's he doing?
He's ready to go.
Get your boy ready. He's ready to ride.
They're like, come on,
don't they know the master's hurt?
Yeah, come on, master.
Master's on the injured list.
That's it. Limp on in that Ford F-150. Let's get on over to Bojangles, 10:05 special.
Yeah.
All right, we got games to get into now. We got games, and again, Duke, North Carolina. I don't care what the records are. When anytime these two hook up on the hardwood, it's a headliner. But there is a ton at stake, more so than in years past, in the sense Duke's really kind of playing for their lives tomorrow night, Wes. They desperately need the W.
Well, Duke is +5 in the last 39 meetings with North Carolina, and that's really since Roy Williams arrived in Chapel Hill. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock ESPN, Dan Shulman, Jay Billis will be there for you. Carolina, you see BPI's got them at just under 59%. One of the things we talked about with look out, here we go.
Heads
breaking
up.
Loose at the Packer house.
Heads up.
I think Mark Williams' improvement at Duke in the middle is a big deal. Walker Kessler's improvement for Carolina equally as big, adds another body, big-wise with Baycott, Brooks, and Sharp. Now, that being said, there's a better-than-average chance this thing delivers again. It always delivers, seemingly, right, Pac? I'm going to be really, really interested to see how Duke handles Caleb Love tomorrow night. Remember how many threes Carolina hit in the game and how abnormal that was at the time. And they still only won the game, what, by 4 points? 91-87, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so think about the threes. Think about the bigs. And then can Carolina afford to have the big turnover number? I don't think so tomorrow night at home.
No, you can't do that. But, you know, they made 10 of 15 from three. I remember when we had Roy Williams on, I said, would you sign up for that every night? He said, you better believe it. And he'd sign up for it again tomorrow if he knew he was going to make 10 of 15 from beyond the arc. So, yeah, you're right. I think your breakdown was spot on. Duke's concern, of course, inside. North Carolina's front court is a nightmare for everybody they play. Matthew Hurt's going to have to stay out of foul trouble. But I would say this, too, since the last time they played. You know, Mr. Williams inside for Duke has really improved and gives them a totally
nice player.
Different dynamic at the rim. So, that's going to be different than the first go-around as well. And I just feel, listen, it's Duke, North Carolina. There's always pressure in the game to win. But Duke has to win the game, Wes. You know, they had Louisville at home, great opportunity, lost in overtime. George Tech on the road, great opportunity, lost in overtime. You know, when you start talking big picture, this almost feels like a must-win for Duke. Now, if they lose, they're going to have to win the ACC tournament next week. Even if they win the game, they're going to have somewhat of a decent run in the tournament next week. But, man, again, Louisville, Georgia Tech, North Carolina. If you'd have asked a Duke fan a week ago, here's the three coming up, what do you think? Well, you can't go 0-3. 0-3 is disaster. They're going to have to win the game tomorrow. Again, this is why we watch, why we love the series. And North Carolina will be ready, and Duke knows what's at stake. So roll it out there. Let's see where it goes again. And, you know, like Jay Billis says, the game never disappoints. I suspect we'll get another edition of that tomorrow.
All right. The interesting part for the ACC and the rest of the league beyond Duke, Carolina, is the turnkey effect on the double bye that Louisville, Virginia has tomorrow. 4 o'clock game. Now, Carolina is still in a scenario for the double bye. So is Clemson. That hinges on Georgia Tech and Wake Forest tonight. If Georgia Tech wins, then Carolina and Clemson are eliminated from the double bye. Georgia Tech would be alive for the double bye. However, they need Virginia to beat Louisville in order to get that double bye. Virginia, Florida State, and Virginia Tech are assured of the double bye. It's really down to Louisville, Georgia Tech, Clemson, and Carolina. But to save you a lot of headache here, Georgia Tech has to win tonight. That would eliminate Clemson and Carolina. If Georgia Tech wins, then it comes down to whether Louisville can beat Virginia or not. If Georgia Tech loses tonight, then all the scenarios are still in play. But if Georgia Tech wins, then tomorrow Louisville will win or Virginia will win, and that'll determine who gets the valuable double bye next week in Greensboro.
Yeah, we won't ask this as a quiz at the end of the show. All we suggest is popcorn tonight, popcorn tomorrow. Put your feet up and enjoy it. By the time we get back here on Monday, we'll have it all sorted out. Who's in, who's out, who's got a bye, who doesn't, who's the player of the year, and all that good stuff. But Virginia-Louisville is a really important game up and above the bye. I just think from the mindset of those two teams, especially a team like Louisville, Wes, who, you know, you look at what their week was going to be. At Virginia Tech, critical game, we don't have it. Now they get Virginia, a team they've had very, very little success against. And you lose Malik Williams, which I just think is a monstrous blow. And again, Villanova got news yesterday, for example, that Colin Gillespie is out for the rest of the year. Changes them entirely. The good news for Louisville's sake is they've played so many games this year without Malik Williams, they won't be in awe of like, oh, my God, what do we do? They got the great backcourt. But, man, losing Williams when you thought you finally got him back for this stretch run, I think mentally will be intriguing to watch how Louisville handles that, especially against a team that they've really had a tough time beating in Virginia.
Yeah. Tell you what, let's do. Just for fun, let's throw the old BPI out at you. Just so you can get a little BPI scoreboard here before we go.
I'm already
the weekend,
in pain.
Huh?
I'm already in enough pain.
Don't be so excited. Come on, let's look at the BPI. The BPI is fun. You got Carolina at 59.4.
Wait, I'm gonna
write
this down.
Virginia. It's
down.
Here we go. Carolina, Carolina 59.4.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Virginia 66.2.
Okay.
Clemson. 74%.
74 for them. Well, that's good for Pitt. All right.
Yeah. Florida State, 68.6 at Notre Dame.
Wait a minute. So Clemson, there's a better BPI thinks Clemson has a better chance to beat Pitt than Florida State does to beat Notre Dame. Am I hearing you right?
Bingo.
Got it.
BPI is never wrong.
Never wrong. Got it. 68.
Always wins.
68% for Florida State?
68.6. Yeah, 68. Round up 69 if you like.
All right. And by the way, it's also the last weekend of the MJ Walker versus my lottery picks, and I have a very slim lead. My inaccuracy rate is 86%. MJ Walker's accuracy rate from the line, 85%. So we'll see how that comes out, too. It's another one.
The Georgia Tech Wake Forest game, Georgia Tech is 83%. Write all these down. We'll have a scoreboard on Monday for you.
Yeah, but wait a minute now. Here's what I keep telling you. Georgia Tech should beat Wake Forest 8 out of 10 times. The key to the BPI are the big games. The big games when you need some, give me some insight. Like Chester and Fuller just
said
to me.
What about BC Miami?
What's that one? 50-50.
Canes are at 60.2.
All right, Miami 60.2.
They're counting on BC being at the beach. BPI evidently thinks the South Beach factor is going to kick in on the Eagles.
Well, that could be. But, you know.
Florida road swing in Tallahassee, now Miami. Pretty good, nice way to end the regular season, I can tell you that.
I'd say for those two teams, as rough as it's been, I mean, I have a funny feeling both of them are like, hey, let's just get to the finish line on this bad boy. And again, BC got the big win against Notre Dame to at least feel good. Miami's had their moments, though, right? They've beaten Louisville. They've beaten Duke at home. Beat NC State on the road. I mean, how bizarre is that? And they've just been so beat up and banged up. It's been almost unfair for Jim Larranaga.
Yeah. You're right about that. That's why the 6 o'clock game tonight, and Scott Spinelli, now, that didn't go well the other night in Tallahassee.
No.
But Jay Heath played well. And, again, we're not, you know, we know Pat Kraft's going to open it up and make a search, and we've been told BC wants to get back in, quote, the basketball business and wants to win and do the right things facility-wise and things like that. With Spin now, they are they play a lot harder. They play with a lot more fire. He coaches with a lot more fire. That's nothing against Jim Christian, but that's just who Scott Spinelli's been as an assistant. And it's starting to show as the interim head coach, too. No Harlan Beverly, no Chris Likes. Miami has been admirable. Tonight will be their 19th ACC game. The cancellation or postponement of the Carolina game is the only one they didn't play back.
When you look at the starting rosters of Boston College and Miami before the season started, what you assumed would be their starting lineups versus what the starting lineups will be when they play that game, you will go, where'd everybody go? What happened? Right?
Yeah.
It'd be kind of crazy for both of them, to be honest with you. Those two teams in particular, maybe more so than anybody else in the league, have had the roughest, craziest upside down between COVID pauses, injuries, loss of a coach. Yep. I mean, goodness gracious, you name it, it's happened to both of them, some shape, way, or form.
All right. Fast moving Friday show. Not Fat Boy Friday. It's been a fast moving Friday. We wrap next with the Bojangles weekend menu as we rapidly approach Packers 10:05 to Bojangles with the dogs.
On the way to the doctor.
Yep.
Perfect.
Have
a biscuit from Bojangles in my back pocket as I'm getting my knee checked. It'd be great.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a humongous Friday.
This league is so competitive. Look, my cat's trying to get in on the action here.
That's all right. There's Clifford right there.
Clifford, I love that.
Oh, look at that.
Anytime, guys. I'll get up early for you any day of the week, except for maybe, you know, when I'm on vacation or something like that.
I agreed to do the show. I didn't agree to be coherent.
Who would have made the best bachelor on UNC's team?
And I know you're a big BPI statistics man.
It would not be Frazier. Frazier was not a ladies' man. He was not smooth. He had the moves of a school bus.
You better hope I never host that round the horn. You got no shot with me at the way you're going in this interview. No way.
Look at Pac hanging his head already, Hancock. Look at that. It's just embarrassing how bad he looks at me. I mean, when I start doing math.
Josh Pastner, appreciate the face shield, but we're going to have something in glass on Friday.
Going to start relaxing here pretty soon. Already stretching out.
3-year anniversary is glass, Wes. So that's where I'm headed tonight, about 7:01 p.m. Glass will be in the offering with a cube in it.
By the way, you've joined us today. It's the 3-year anniversary of Packer and I doing our very first radio show together down at Sirius XM 371, the ACC channel, that ultimately morphed into television show that's now multi-platform. It's also the 1-year anniversary. By the way, we've been told there is no blimp at the ACC Women's Basketball Tournament this year in Greensboro. And do you know why?
I broke
because of this incident right here. Yeah, remember this?
I love this.
Yeah. John Tarwater feared for his job. There he is. You're flying the blimp.
Yeah. I believe the line was, this is one giant leap, one small step for mankind and one giant leap for ACC Network. You know, we got Perseverance went 300 million miles to land on Mars. This was the next greatest achievement. It was me flying that blimp inside the Greensboro Coliseum last year. And I tell you what, there were some sweaty palms in Greensboro when I got my hands on that remote. People are like, oh, my God, does this guy understand the insurance value if this thing crashes? Like, hey, no problem. What does this one go? This one go up or to the left? Yeah, I think it was bobbling around. Goodness gracious. They gave me 5 more minutes. I'd have put that sucker right in the upper deck. Guarantee you.
I think Drew Brooks, who was on site with us helping produce the show, shared my fear when you walked into the Coliseum and said, I want to fly that blimp.
Let me tell you something. We were not inside the Greensboro Coliseum 20 seconds, and it was like moths to light. I saw that blimp parked up there. I said, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what we're going to do today on the show, but I can assure you I'm going to get my hands on that sucker right up here in the upper deck. I'm going to fly that thing.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, I'm going to fly the blimp. And look at the man. That's John Tarwater in the purple shirt, fearing for his future employment or the structure of the shoe. Look. Oh, no. Yeah, sure, sir. You go right ahead. Yeah, he had no idea.
And I think you were asking me right there, Pack. I think he's a little nervous. I'm like, for crying out loud, I got the remote, Wes. I mean, excuse me. Now this one goes right. We go vertical, horizontal. Man. What's this knob do?
Apparently it dives. The blimp started diving. That's when Tarwater
like
saw his entire
Hindenburg. Yeah,
whatever financials he had tied up in that operation, he saw him going out the window you operating it.
Yeah, I'm shocked the shoe blimp's not back this year. They're like, that Packer and Durham show's going to be in there. I guarantee they're going to be back, right? Well, if they're back, there's no way this blimp's coming back to the Coliseum. We can't afford the fat guy sitting there with the remotes in his hand. He's got a bad knee, I hear, too, so he's got a bad attitude. He'll have to crash that thing right into Stamey's barbecue. So great. I loved it.
All right. Before we get out of here, how about we ride through the Bojangles weekend menu, shall we, kids?
Let's do it.
Hey, we got hoops tonight. We got two games, Boston College, Miami at 6, Georgia Tech and Wake at 8. So hoops doubleheader here on ACC Network. And then tomorrow at noon, game one of the semifinals, Beth Moen's Debbie Antonelli from the Coliseum in Greensboro. They'll have the second semifinal at 2:30. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Jordan Cornette hosts the ACC Watch Party with Carlos Boozer and Vince Carter watching Duke, Carolina. What could possibly go wrong there? And then Sunday afternoon, ACC Baseball. You betcha. Dan McDonald in Louisville in Atlanta.
Good
at McNeese Ballpark at Russ Chandler Stadium to see Georgia Tech at 3. And then that'll be followed by the ACC Fencing Championship and the best of the ACC Indoor Track and Field, 6 and 8 o'clock. Right here on ACCN.
You know,
sets up for a nice weekend.
Great weekends. Great stuff all over. Louisville, Georgia Tech is a great series. There's another terrific ACC baseball series this weekend, and that's Miami at NC State. Those are two series. I think we got six conference matchups with baseball series this weekend. But those two, Louisville, Georgia Tech, terrific. Miami at NC State. Keep an eye on both of those series. Those are some big-time teams getting out.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.